Ephesians chapter 1. Again today, Ephesians chapter 1. We continue our study today on Ephesians, the church of the living God, the body of Christ. As we look at it again today, we've talked about what Ephesians is. Paul was writing, of course, about the relationship of the Lord Jesus Christ with his earthly body known as the church, the relationship there. We see, though, the Lord Jesus Christ today, he's exalted, he's in heaven, sitting on the right hand of the Father. He still identifies with the church, his body, by filling the church with his presence. And we talked about how chapters 1 through 3 talk to us about what God has done for us. And in chapters 4 through 6, we find out what we should do for him. So just again, a little review here. I'm grateful for, we talked about the blessings of God. Remember, we talked about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're chosen by which one? The Father. We're chosen by the Father. We're redeemed by who? The Son. And we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Okay? We've been chosen by the Father. We've been redeemed by the Son. And we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. These are blessings, folks, that if you're a child of God, that we should really rejoice about. For what God has done for you and what God has done for me and what God has made available to anyone, to whosoever. I like that word in the Bible. Whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. And I'm grateful for the blessings of God that he has bestowed upon us. Last week we started about the knowledge of God. And this passage in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 through 18. We'll look at that again this morning as we continue with that. Now, when I speak of the knowledge of God, I mean simply this, to know God. How to know God? How can I know God? And Paul talks about this here to the Ephesians. Paul hadn't seen the Ephesians in a while, but yet he was concerned about them. And we find that he's praying for them, and we'll get into the prayer. But let's pray first. Father, we thank you for life. Thank you for another good day, a beautiful day you've given us, the privilege to be together in your house. And what a privilege it is, what a joy it is today. Thank you for each one that's come now. And I pray that you would bless our time together as we're here now and we're trying to allow the Holy Spirit to instruct us and to guide us in the things that we say and the things that we do this morning. So, Father, we commit this time to you now. And we pray the Holy Spirit of God would do through your word today, Lord, and through this vessel. Lord, may you speak to each of our hearts and challenge us and help us to realize, Lord, that we can know you personally. Lord, know you intimately. And God, I pray that the Word of God would be our teacher now as we look at this together. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Again, if you're visiting with us today, glad to have you. I trust God will bless you by being in the Lord's house today. And so we're glad to see you. Now, last week we talked about the prayer in verse number 15. Let's begin with verse number 15 in Ephesians chapter 1. We'll read it again. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Again here, Paul is praying. He's praying for the church. Paul, again, he's been away from the church, the Ephesian church, for a while, and he's heard some good things about them. He's heard some good news about them, and he's complimenting them about their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and their love for all the saints. And we talked a little bit about that last week, and we find, I'll always pray for you, is what he's saying, making mention of you my prayers. I'll pray for you. You know, that's the best thing, folks, that we can do for one another. Is to pray for one another. We all need prayer, no matter what situation we may have in our life. And we're grateful for that. And so we need to pray one for another. Pray for the needs of people, the concerns of people and all this. I mentioned last week, I believe it was, there's two prayers mentioned in the book of Ephesians. And one of them is found right here in the first chapter, verse number 18, that you might know, that you might know. Paul said, Ephesians, you need to know God. You need to know God. You need to know Him personally. You need to know Him intimately. Let Him be what He wants to be for you and to you in your life. And so you need to know Him. We talked a little bit about that. He said, you need to know what God has done, what He's done for you. And it's very, very important. We talked about the knowledge of God, to know God. We talked about last Sunday the foundation of the knowledge of God, the foundation of knowing God. How can I know God? We talked about two specific things, which is found here in regards to the Ephesian church in verse number 15. Let's look at it again. Wherefore, by also, after I heard of your what? Faith in who? The Lord. Your faith in the Lord. This is the foundation. This is the foundation here, folks, of knowing God. Of knowing God. Without faith, we cannot know God. We cannot know God at all. And so we find that faith is so important. And their faith was strong in the Lord Jesus Christ. They knew Him personally. Not only their faith, but also, we say in this verse, in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints. Love unto all the saints. So faith and love are very important. They're the foundations of knowing God. Of knowing God. You know, without faith, we can't know God, folks. We can't know God. How can we know God? You know, it's an amazing thing how we can know someone we've never seen before. We've never seen Him in our lives physically. We've never seen God. But we can know Him. We can know Him by faith, by trusting His word that He's given to us about His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what He's done for us. It's an amazing way how God has provided a way that everybody can know God. And it's by faith. It's by faith. Taking God at His word, acknowledging it as being truth. We find here that Paul is talking about this church here now. He says, you have strong faith. You have strong faith, and that's good. And because they had strong faith, and because they had love for the saints in the church, it moved Paul to write this letter here to the Ephesian church. And he wrote it again to strengthen them and to encourage them to keep doing what they were doing. Have you ever got a letter from somebody and that encouraged you? I'm sure all of us have in our life. And no doubt this letter here is written to encourage all Christians that have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love for the saints of God. This is good to know this, and we're thankful that Paul is sharing this with us. So we talked about the foundation of knowing God. And we also started last week on the need. On the need. Paul didn't pray for this church just to pray for this church. Paul was specific when he prayed for this church. He realized they had a need. They had a need. God gave him discernment about this church, that they had need in their life, just like you and I do. As a Christian, as a born-again child of God, first of all, the need that they had and the need that we have is to have spiritual understanding of God and knowing Him. Listen, no one can understand the things of God apart from the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God indwells us as a child of God to teach us and to give us understanding and discernment of the Word of God. So we find here that it's very important, the need here. Spiritual truths must be understood by spiritual discernment, which comes from the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. You know, there's a lot of things about the Bible I don't know, a lot of things I don't understand. But I can say this, what I do know and what I do understand is because the Spirit of God has taught me. He's taught me. You know, I love to listen to people speak and teach. And we learn a lot from people. But the most important way to learn the Bible and learn the Word of God is allow the Spirit to teach you. And that's when you're alone. That's when you're having Bible study and you're reading and all this. And then when you do that, and then when you hear it taught or proclaimed or preached, man, it brings it to life to you, you know? And it becomes more real to you because you've studied it and the Spirit of God has taught you the Word of God. So we find here Paul is encouraging these Ephesians. You need spiritual understanding in your life. Look in verse number 18. He tells them here, verse 18, he says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. He says, spiritual understanding, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. So we find here that Paul is writing this. By the way, I said last week, the Spirit of God can teach us. The Spirit of God wrote the Bible, and the Spirit of God certainly is able to teach us what He has written in the Word of God. So we see here that they needed spiritual understanding. We also see in verse number 18 that they might know the hope of their calling. Their calling. In verse 18, the first part, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. The hope of His calling. Now, we notice this. We have a blessed hope as a child of God for all eternity. We have a blessed hope. And we see here, Paul is trying to tell them about this calling. He summarizes it in verses 4 through 6. Look at verse number 4. The calling. He says, first of all, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. We see here the first calling. The Christian must know their high calling. Listen. If you're a Christian today, it's because of God and the high calling upon you. God has chosen us from the foundation of the world. He's chosen not only us, but again, like I said a while ago, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The door is open, folks, today for anybody to be saved. Anybody can be saved today. Then realize they're a sinner, and believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for them. He was buried and rose the third day, and trust Him as their Savior, they can be saved. Folks, this is a high calling. This is not just something minor. This is a great event. This is something that is supernatural in the life of individuals today. A high calling. God speaks about this as our high calling in verse number 8 here. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me over just a few pages to Philippians. Philippians chapter number 3. Talking about the high calling. Paul wrote these words, and all of you probably know this verse by heart. Philippians 3 and verse 14. Paul says this, I press towards the mark for the prize of the what? High calling of God in Christ Jesus. See, this is a high calling. We must understand this as a blessed hope for all eternity for us that know Christ as Savior. It's a high calling. Not only is it a high calling, but back in chapter Ephesians 1, verse number 4, the Bible says, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Not only is this a high calling, it's a holy calling. A holy calling. It comes from God, folks. This calling comes from God. Take your Bibles and turn with me, if you will, over in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Look at chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. This is a holy calling that you and I have as a Christian. Paul says, I want you to know the hope of your high calling. Your high calling. If 2 Timothy and chapter 1, look at verse number 9. Who hath saved us and called us with a what? Holy calling. Not according to our works, thank God for that, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in who? Christ Jesus. When? Before the world began. Before the world began. We have here a holy calling. The Christian has a holy calling, has a high calling, and then we find also, back in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, we see it is a heavenly calling. A heavenly calling. Look at verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. We find here our heavenly calling, our heavenly calling. Look over back into Hebrews again. Hebrews chapter number 3. Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 1, speaking about our heavenly calling. Folks, these callings are very important to us as Christians. It's our blessed hope for all eternity. Heavenly calling, Hebrews 3:1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. The heavenly calling. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Our heavenly calling. Now, we will never, as a Christian, be able, if you please, to walk worthy of this calling until we understand who we are in Christ. What he's done for us, we notice here our high calling, our holy calling, our heavenly calling come from God. And Paul says to these people at Ephesians here, I want you to know the hope of your calling. The hope of your calling. It's all in God and through God. Notice also something else he wants them to know. He wants them to know the riches of their inheritance. Look back in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 again, the last part. It says, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? In the saints. We find here that the riches of his inheritance. Folks, we have an inheritance in Christ. What is our inheritance in Christ? Heaven. Heaven will one day be my home because of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's given me that opportunity to one day to go to heaven. Because of my inheritance in Christ. Now, not only do we have an inheritance in Christ, but you and I as believers are an inheritance to Christ. To Christ. Now, what are we as children of God to Christ? The church, the body of Christ, with the church. But what else are we? What else are we? What are we going to be when we get where Christ is? The bride. We are the bride of Christ, see. And because we are the bride of Christ, we are important to him. Don't you forget that. You mean a lot to Jesus Christ as his children because you are his bride. You are his bride, see. And I thank God for this. Not only do we have an inheritance from the Lord Jesus Christ, but we are an inheritance to him. We're the bride of Christ, folks. Does that mean anything to you? It should. It should mean something that you and I have the opportunity as children of God to be part of his bride. And praise God, we're going to sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb one day with him. That's going to be an exciting time. It's going to be something like we've never experienced in this life before. Nothing. Thank God for the inheritance of the riches of his inheritance. You know, when we begin to realize what we have in Christ and what we are in Christ ourselves, you know, we begin to grow and to realize as children of God what we mean to Christ, and that should start us living our lives to bring joy to him because of what he's done for us and what he means to us and what we mean to him. See, I'm afraid sometimes we think, well, praise God, I'm going to heaven when I die, and that's all there is to it. No, listen. As a child of God, you are a part of his bride. You're the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we should bring glory to him in this life. We should bring glory to him in this life. It's very important. Someone said that Christian living is based on Christian learning. Christian living is based on Christian learning. Some of you have started out in your career. You just started. Some of you midway. Some of you have retired in this room. But let me consider this thought, put this thought to you. No matter where you are in your career, if you're starting, if you're midway, or if you've finished, sometime when in the beginning, between the beginning and the end of your career, you have had to learn, you've had to study, you've had to educate, you've had to experiment, you've had to do a lot of things in your life to accomplish what you have as a career, as a career. Now, if we in this body have to study, we have to apply ourselves, we have to educate ourselves, we have to try and learn by making mistakes and doing things over again in our life. In other words, we have to put forth effort in this life to accomplish what we want to, quote, as a career, do we not? We have to. Well, likewise, in the Christian life, folks, listen, we have to do the same thing. We have to learn. We have to practice. We have to study. We have to do things for the Lord Jesus Christ to grow and to be what God wants us to be. Paul says, I press towards the high calling of Christ Jesus. I press towards that. May that be our desire as a Christian, folks. Not just to sit on a seat and listen to somebody teach or somebody preach, but do something for God. It brings joy to Him when His children do something for Him, you see. No matter what it is that God can use you to do. God has something for all of us to do. All of us to do. There's so much in this church right now that we need people to do. We need people to do in this church. And we need you to consider and pray about what God would have you to do. You see, listen, don't just be a Sunday morning Christian. Do something for God. Do something for God. You know, I appreciate the people in this church that do so many things behind the scenes. They really do. I mean, this past week, a lot of people did a lot of things that you'll never know about. You'll never know about it. But God does. They gave their time, they give their abilities, they give their talents to do something for God. And that brought joy to Christ. It brought joy to Christ because we're busy doing something for Him. We're busy doing something for Him. Listen, life is too short. Life is too short for it, folks, not to be doing something for Christ all the time. All the time. And we must realize this and help us. May God help us. Again, that Christian living is based on Christian learning. I'm not going to be the Christian that God wants me to be unless I apply myself in this book and the teachings that I get and the preaching that I hear in my life. I must apply this in my life. I must apply it, folks. If I'm going to be what God wants me to be, I may never be much. I may never be known anywhere. But I know this. I want to be what God wants me to be. I want to be busy because I know that time is very, very short. We have an inheritance in Christ. We are an inheritance to Christ. Don't forget that, folks. Don't forget that. You are an inheritance to Christ. And may the Lord help us somehow to bring glory and bring joy to Christ in our life. No matter where we are, what we're doing, may we do that. Now, the knowledge of God, knowing God. Now, I want you to notice something here. Paul is writing, he wants them to have spiritual understanding. He wants them to know the hope of their calling. He wants them to know the riches of his inheritance, these Ephesians. But I want you to notice in the knowledge of God and knowing God, Paul also says, I want you to know what God. What God. What God is Paul speaking about here? We know in the world today there are many gods, aren't there? There were many gods in this day and time too, in history. But Paul here identifies with us here in these passages of Scripture. Look at verse 17. He's speaking here and trying to inform them of what God to know. What God should you know? As I pray for you, I want you to know. Notice it says in verse 17, that the God of who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. To know the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, that's very important. The God we are to know is the God of Jesus Christ. The God of Jesus Christ is the God whom Jesus worshiped when he was here on this earth. He spoke much about his Father, God. And it's very important that we get the right God, folks. The right God today. We also see it's the God whom Jesus Christ came to reveal. Jesus Christ came to reveal the true and the living God, his Father. That's who he come to manifest to us. There is no other God. There's no other true and living God, but the God of Jesus Christ, his Father. His Father is the only God. So we see here, Paul tells them in verse 17 that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, notice, the Father of glory. The Father of glory. The God we are to know is the Father of glory. The Father of glory. The Heavenly Father, the supreme majesty, if you please, the sovereign one, the sovereign of all the universe. That's the God we serve, folks. The God of heaven and earth. The one who has all intelligence. The one who has all power in this universe. That's the God we serve. That Paul says, this is the true God. This is the living God. The one who created all things and rules all things. That's the God we're talking about today. We're not talking about a statue. We're talking about a true and a living God. A true and a living God. Paul says, this is the one. This is who I'm talking about. Worship him. Live for him. The God who has all power. The God who's everywhere. The God who knows all things. This is the God. This is the God he's speaking about to them. The one whose being and presence reaches far beyond the stars and beyond anything that we could ever imagine. His presence is there. Folks, it's an awesome fact, awesome thought to me to know that God is everywhere. There's nowhere you can go that God is not. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. And in his children, he lives within us. He lives with us through the person of the Spirit of God. This is the God we're talking about. This is the God that Paul is trying to encourage these Ephesians that they're to love and they're to serve and they're to have faith in, because he is a true and the living God. The one who declares that he has set his glory above the heavens. We find that in Psalms chapter 8 and verse number 1, how he's done that. So we find here today that the need of knowing God is very, very important. Now, I want to look also today as how we're to grow. We need to know God. We need to know God, and Paul tells us why we need to know God. That we can understand God. We can understand him by his Spirit, and this is how we know him. Also, that we can know the riches of our inheritance. Know who we are in Christ Jesus, know who he is in us. But also we see also some things that are necessary if we as believers are to grow in the knowledge of God. How do we grow? How do we grow in the knowledge of God? Paul tells us here in this passage of Scripture, look in verse number 17 again, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the Spirit of what? Wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now we see here, to grow in the knowledge of God as a believer, we must have the Spirit of wisdom. The Spirit of wisdom. Now, what do you mean, the Spirit of wisdom? Well, we know the Spirit of wisdom is a spirit that reaches out and reaches after wisdom. That's a spirit within us that reaches after wisdom. James tells us in James 1:5, I believe it is, if a man lack wisdom, what does he do? He asked of God, and God will give it liberally to those that ask for wisdom. It takes wisdom to know God. It's also a spirit that hungers and thirsts, a desire. You remember most of us, when we first got saved, there was a thirst to know more about God. There was a hunger to know more about God. There was a drive to find out what's happened to me, because this is something that has been miraculous to me. And I want to know what's taking place in my life. There was a spirit within us to drive us, a spirit that was seeking after wisdom, seeking after knowledge all the time in our life. And we see that wisdom means knowing how to use or to relate to something. How to use or how to relate to something is wisdom. And we know, of course, wisdom comes from God. Spiritual wisdom. What is spiritual wisdom? It's knowing who God is and how to relate to Him. Knowing who God is and how can I relate to God. Folks, that's very important today. I'm afraid most people in the world today don't know who God is to begin with. And definitely they don't know how to relate to Him. They don't know how to relate to Him. But wisdom, it helps us do this. Spiritual wisdom is knowing the truth also and how to use it. Knowing the truth and how to use the truth. Folks, we have the truth. We have the Word of God. And may God give us wisdom how to use that truth. How to use that truth. We have to be careful sometimes. Also, spiritual wisdom means knowing what to do and how to do it. Knowing what to do and how to do it. So spiritual wisdom is very important. Knowing how to live more and more a fruitful life. Spiritual wisdom teaches us all these things. Now, wisdom is different from knowledge. Knowledge isn't just knowing the facts. Okay? Knowledge is just knowing the facts about something or someone. A person must know how to use the facts, folks. It's one thing to know the facts, but it's a different thing to know how to use the facts in our life. A person must know God personally, okay, first of all, and then a person must grow in a relationship to God, knowing God. And folks, that comes through living. That comes through living for Him, reading His Word, studying His Word, experimenting in things in your life. See, it's not just a knowledge of God intellectually, but it's experimenting the knowledge of God in your life daily. What has God done for you this past week that you know it happened, but God did it for you? Huh? That's experimenting God in your life. Experimenting God in your life. Sometimes it might be safety on the highway. I mean, you may almost have a wreck, you know? And you see the hand of God do something for you. That's growing in God. Folks, let's don't take lightly the things that God does for us every day. Let's give Him the praise and glory for what He does. Listen, it's only by the grace of God, it's only by God's help, has the Share-a-thon gone as good this past week as it went. We give Him the praise, we give Him the glory for what He did. It wasn't nothing that we did. We were vessels, yes, put in a time slot to speak for Him or do something for Him, but God gave the increase. God did it all. He does it all in our life, and we need to acknowledge that. We need to acknowledge that. So first of all, to grow in the knowledge of God, we must have the spirit of wisdom. We must have the spirit of wisdom. Next, we will continue on how to grow in the knowledge of God, that we must have the spirit of revelation, and also we must have the eyes of our heart enlightened. Our heart must be enlightened in the Word of God. Paul talks about this here in this passage here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and verse 18. He talks about 18. He says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe according to the working of His mighty power. And then we're going to talk about the results of knowing God. Knowing God is very important in our life. I trust today that you know Christ as your Savior. I trust you're a Christian today. If you're not, Jesus loves you. He died for you. He wants to forgive you of your sins if you call upon Him in sincerity. Knowing that you're a sinner, He'll save you if you do that. You know Christ is your Savior. I pray that it be our desire, every one of us, to know God more intimately. know Him, experience daily things with God as He uses us in our life. Folks, it's great to be a Christian. It's great to be a Christian. Great to know God. Great to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. Don't let our lives go by and not get intimate with Him and really know Him. Really know Him, because it brings glory to Him. It brings joy to Christ when His children live for Him and serve Him. I want to bring joy to Christ, don't you? I really do. May God help us. Father, thank You for this time. Thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for Paul, Lord, as he wrote here to the Ephesians, Lord, in words to encourage them and to strengthen them. And God, I pray as we go through this together, Lord, that we might be encouraged as Your children and strengthened together. Father, bless our pastor now as we go into the next hour. I pray for a special anointing upon him. Lord, as he opens the Word and shares from his heart through Your Word what You've given him today for us. God, I pray that we might have open hearts and open minds to receive with gladness Your Word. Father, help those that might be here that are lost to be saved. God, encourage Your children and bless us together. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.